Pastor Clark gone and Kenton and Kelly gone this week just kind of seemed to have a different time schedule for us. And when I pulled in the parking lot this morning at 7:30, I thought, is this Monday? Because there wasn't a soul here. And I thought, either it's Monday or you guys revolted and thought, Pastor Clark's not here, so you're not coming either. And I don't know what time you all started drifting in, but I'll be honest, I was concerned. I'm glad to be here this morning, and I'm looking forward to what God's going to begin to do in our church, even at the 8 o'clock service. I was reminded this week, as Pastor Clark was leaving, that absolutely nothing ever stays the same. It just doesn't. You know, and as I reflected on all the years that him and I had been together and all the crazy things that we'd been through and all the amazing things that him and I have gotten to see God do, the one thing that stood out the most in all of those things is how much him and I have changed, as well as the people around us, and how much the world has changed. I mean, him and I have had many conversations. I mean, being best friends together for over 30 years, we've seen a lot of different things. And as we've talked, it wasn't too long ago we were talking about Sunday school. We were talking about, you know, how to organize and develop and train more teachers. And he began to share with me the Andy Anderson cycle for Sunday school. And I looked at him and I started laughing. I said, Clark, do you have any idea what you just said to me? And he said, what? I said, Andy Anderson's been dead for like 150 years. I said, those were the principles and the things that we used to practice 30 years ago. They don't do that stuff anymore. And we just laughed together because, you know, things have changed so much. People have changed so much. The world in which we live changed so much over the last 15, 16 years together here. And it's not just our lives, and it's not just the people in our church. I think a lot of people, you know, you get so caught up in doing, there's so many things happening in your own life, you don't realize, you know, how much is really changing around us. In fact, some of the most significant changes in history, in the history of this world, have happened in just the past 100 years. Dorothy, you've been around to see almost every one of them. Amen? Listen, in fact, we are right now experiencing more change than ever before. And the rate of change is so great that we barely catch our breath before we get another blast of change that just kind of slams into us. I'm sure that if we took the time to share with each other all the changes that every single family here have gone through just this year, just January and February. You know, just talking to a few of you this morning, you've had all kinds of things that have happened in your lives, all kinds of things that have changed just this year, just in the last 2 months. It's amazing how much really goes on, and we don't pay attention. We don't focus. We wouldn't have enough time if you stood where I stood this morning and just shared some of it. I mean, think about how many people in your life, or maybe you yourself, have moved, have had an addition to your family. We're getting ready to have another addition. My middle daughter, Hannah, is pregnant, going to have a baby, and we're welcoming that. We're excited about that, but it's just another change. I mean, how many had a kid move out? I mean, how many had to make an unpleasant doctor's visit? I mean, how many had to deal with some sort of family financial crisis? Everything we're familiar with is constantly changing. People are coming and going so fast in our church and our communities that sometimes, especially in the second service, you don't see it as much in the first service. I don't think anybody wants to get up today. But I think in the second service, there are so many people coming and going in both the church and the community that sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to a parade. I mean, you just got to kind of catch them while they're coming through and just try to share as much of the gospel as you possibly can. We don't know how to stand still anymore. We are forever on the move, doing things, eating stuff, working, jogging, writing, marrying, divorcing, shopping, you name it, and we're doing it. And I think the pace is somewhere between maddening and insane. I mean, people are coming and going 24 hours a day. The interstates in our city streets are almost always filled with traffic, and it never stops. There's times that I try to pull out of this driveway at 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and listen, there's a good chance you might be sitting there a while before you get out of this driveway. Change is a constant companion in our fast-paced world. I want to share some facts with you that I think might surprise a lot of you. Think about this. More information has been produced in the last 30 years than in the previous, listen to this, 5,000 years combined. Think about that. More information in the last 30 years than the previous 5,000 years combined. There is more than one half of all the scientists that have ever lived are alive today. 90% of all the items in the supermarket today did not exist 15 years ago. And this might surprise some of you, or at least make you feel old. Mariah, my daughter, she just figured out that I am older than the internet. I mean, it's always been for her. It's always been a part of her life. It's estimated that 50% of the college graduates are going into jobs that did not exist when they were born. It's also estimated that 90% of the businesses in the United States today were started in the last 30 years. Folks, these kind of changes are taking place in every single area of our life. Let me show you what I mean. Travel has changed. More than 200 years ago, George Washington traveled from Virginia to Washington, D.C. on horseback, and it would take him as much as 10 days traveling at a speed of 25 miles per day. Today, astronauts can enter into a space shuttle and travel at the speed of 25,000 miles per hour. Now, just to give you some perspective on that, at that speed, you could fly from coast to coast, from New York City to San Francisco in 8 minutes. Since the 1930s, some of you were around in the 1930s, in the 1930s, movies have gone from silent to unspeakable. In the 1950s, we had three major networks. Remember what they were? NBC, ABC, and CBS. Now we have more than 750 channels, and for all of those, you know, that are here this morning, if you're like me, that simply means this, that by the time you find the show you're looking for, it's over with. A lot of these changes have turned our world into a war game. I mean, the political corruption today is absolutely out of control. I mean, crime rates have skyrocketed. I mean, it used to be just domestic violence, and I don't mean just domestic violence, you know, to somehow minimize that, but it used to be just domestic violence, gang wars, and drug trafficking that plagued our communities. Now, one of the worst things imaginable, it's the sex trafficking of children that is decaying our world. It's been said that one out of every four households in the United States will be touched by theft, violent crime, or some other type of tragedy this year. One out of every five women of childbearing age will have an abortion this year. And since the United States Supreme Court legalized unrestricted abortion, listen to this, almost 60 million babies have been murdered. Talk about change having effect on something. Did you know that before January 22nd, 1973, that abortion was a felony in every single country in this nation? Every single state in this nation. Our schools have changed that are in trouble. Most of you know that. In the 1950s and 60s, you know what the major disciplinary problems in our public schools were? Cigarette smoking, skipping class, running in the halls, spitballs, chewing gum, and whispering in class. Today, the major problems are deadly weapons, kids carrying guns, knives, and even assault weapons into the classroom. And this is followed by arson, drugs, vandalism, drunkenness, and sex in bathroom stalls. Listen to this. In a Florida high school, a teacher noticed a group of boys in the corner of the gymnasium, and they were on their knees. And she immediately ran up to the boys and she screamed at them, "What are you doing?" One of the boys looked up at her and answered, "We're shooting dice." And the teacher said this, "Oh, thank goodness. I thought you were praying." You think our values have changed just a little? Relationships are changing. 50%, and I don't think this number is right anymore, but 50% of our marriages now end in divorce. And the odds are that when a couple walks down the aisle to be married, their marriage will not last even 7 years. You know what that means? One of them is going to walk out of the relationship, walk out of the marriage, before the warranty of the refrigerator expires. You know what one of the worst changes might be? Our society has abandoned God's laws for relationships. They've not only abandoned God's laws for relationships, but they've been writing their own. 42% of our young people say that they are sexually active. And one of every 16 teenage girls had a baby last year. Folks, we've reached a state where just plain old common decency is no longer common. In fact, I'd say that all our doing without God has finally outdone us. With all of these changes creating chaos and crisis, I think the church has been trying to do everything they can just to hold on. And for most of them, it's just not working. I mean, listen to how change has impacted our churches. 80 to 85% of all churches in America, 80 to 85% are on a plateau or are declining. I'd say that we're not doing so well, especially since the number of unchurched Americans has risen to 60% or more. Listen to this, 2/3 of our children in America today are receiving absolutely no religious training at all. In other words, nobody's telling them that this is the absolute Word of God. Nobody's telling them John 3:16. Nobody's telling them to let their little light shine. There is absolutely no religious teaching going on whatsoever. And there's so many of our children that are growing up without any of that. Do you understand what this means for the church? We're facing a future that will become increasingly more difficult to minister to than any other time in history. I told the Thursday group that the gap between the lost and the cross of Christ is so unbelievable compared to just 40 years ago. I mean, the distance from helping somebody understand they're lost and needs to be saved today compared to 40 years ago is astronomical. All right, since I've ruined your day and probably your week, and as our world appears to be whirling out of control, racing toward a collision, I believe, with certain calamity, you're probably wondering, how in the world can I possibly get my mind right? Well, you know, this isn't new for me. I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I've been praying about it as I have watched things change over the last 15 to 20 years. And I'm constantly reminding myself, you know, we have got to stay focused. We've got to continue, you know, to do the things God's called us to in spite of what we see, in spite of what we feel. We got to keep moving forward. And this year, I believe that God gave us something that we really need to use to get our minds right. And if you remember the scripture that we started the year out with, it's found in Philippians chapter 4, 8, and it says this, "Finally, brothers," in other words, after you've heard that incredible list of changes, And after you've been overwhelmed by the thought of just the difference that you've been able to see in your own life, Paul says this, finally, brothers, after all of that, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy. Finally, brothers, after all of that, if there's anything that is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In other words, get your mind off of all of that, because you'll get sucked into a vortex that you'll never get out of. You'll get so overwhelmed by the things that you know are absolutely wrong that we're living in today, that you'll never be able to move forward. So Paul says, think about such things. Listen, things are a whole lot easier for us. They really are, when we can remember that God is still in charge. Amen? And that even when everything around us seems to be changing, God never changes. He never changes. The list of things that have changed will continue to grow. Our values, our beliefs, and the absolutes of God's Word, listen, will forever be challenged. No matter what generation it is, there's always going to be a preacher, a proclaimer, somebody that's standing in a pulpit or on a soapbox somewhere, and they're going to be reminding an entire generation of what once was. And they're going to talk about the values that have been, you know, destroyed, the things that have been taken from us. And they're going to talk about the absolutes of God's Word that are always being challenged. But once you get to that point, once you've understood, things have changed. You know, our values, you know, people don't hold true to them anymore. They don't respect them. The absolutes of God's Word are constantly being challenged, not only in our lives, our neighborhoods, our churches, but in the courts as well. And it's always going to be that way until Jesus comes back. But when we get our minds right, and when we think about whatever is true, noble, and right, when we think about whatever is pure, lovely, and admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, when we think about such things, in spite of everything else, you know what happens? God brings hope to the most hopeless of situations. He brings light into the darkness. Chris works on the slides that you see behind me, and so I have to send him my sermon ahead of time, and he sent back a message to me, and he says, "Wow, I'm glad I wasn't sitting near a window when I read the first three pages of your message, because I might have just jumped out." You know, in other words, it was so overwhelming when you start listing all of the things that once was. But if you don't have a point of reference, and you just think about, well, I remember this, but you don't have a point of reference of how much has really changed, it's hard to gauge where you're at. And it's very difficult to know where to go from there. And so when we look at all of these things, we got to recognize that is what's happened. And God says that we live in a broken and a fallen world, and that the things around us are going to be miserable. He says, in this world, you're going to have some trouble. And listen, whether people believe it or not, whether the church believes it or not, guess what? God has no plans to save this planet. Did you know that? Listen, it's going to be destroyed. He's given us a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. So He has no plans to fix that. So those of you that are kind of caught up in global warming, we've got to do our part, we've got to save the planet. Listen, I promise you, it ain't happening. And you would do well to take all of your efforts and put them somewhere else that is really going to matter. And you know where it's going to matter the most? In your circle of influence. Those people who need to know that there is hope beyond this world, that there is hope beyond these changes and these circumstances. And that's who God is. And when we get our minds right and we think about what is right and pure and lovely and all of those things, then God begins to turn a light on in the darkness of our world. That's what faith is all about, isn't it? Our world, no matter what else is going on, is in the grip of the infinite, all-powerful God of the universe. You understand what that means? It means that He's in control. No matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, He never loses track. He never gets confused. He always makes the right decisions. He always knows where he's going even before the circumstance arises. You understand, God isn't just figuring things out as he goes along. God has a firm grip on the things of this world, and his purposes will be carried out in this world and in your life, regardless of your understanding or the lack thereof. God's people have always been on this roller coaster ride with him where they're up one day and they're down the next. I mean, there's one generation that is just in revival. I mean, they've taken the word of God so seriously. They've applied the principles of God's word to their life. And it's dynamite. I mean, it's so unbelievable when you read in Scripture how this generation served God faithfully and maybe another generation later, that generation didn't. And God's judgment came upon them and God's, you know, discipline came upon them. There'd be another generation that would rise up to serve and to honor him. And every time you would see the consistency of God. The Bible tells us in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Folks, these words were spoken in a time of great change for the people of God. And if you can imagine, they're on the downhill side of that relationship with God. I mean, these people questioned whether or not God even loved them in the first chapter of Malachi. Worship had become frivolous and casual. I mean, people gave their leftovers, their blind, their blemish, and their diseased animals to God as an offering. And the moral law of God was being, you know, completely disregarded, especially concerning marriage. At this time, think about this, thousands of years ago, divorce at that time was a national disgrace. I mean, God was absolutely furious with his people. The Lord's command to tithe or to give 10% of all you have was completely being ignored, which led to the economic collapse of that nation, and neither priest nor people took seriously the threat of the approaching judgment of God. Now think about this. In this kind of world, with their values, their beliefs, and the absolutes of God's word being challenged, God was reminding, he was warning his people that he does not change. So in other words, whatever else is happening, you can look to me and I'm going to be the rock. I'm never changing. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And you never have to worry about what's going on around you because I'm never changing. The absolutes that I had at the foundation of the world is the same today, and they will be in the very end. And I am going to have my way. My purposes, my plans, my direction is going to happen. You cannot thwart the plans of God. You know what that means? When God begins to give you a sense of purpose, a sense of direction for your life, for your family, when you start thinking about the future, God's going to have his way. It's going to happen just as he said. Regardless of what any government, what any politician, what any person says, God's going to have his way. Today I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ has got to have a renewed vision. I mean, we got to get our minds right. We got to think about whatever is right. And we got to have a passionate and clear vision of what God has called us to do and what we need to be. I think too often we take our foot off the gas and we spend way too much time trying to look in the rearview mirror at our past glories, especially the older you get. I mean, Clark and I were recently, you know, reminding each other of all the things that we have experienced in our lives, and we talked about all of those past glories. You hear what I'm telling you? There are a lot of churches and there are a lot of people who have a whole lot more memories than they do dreams. And folks, with more memories than dreams, we're never going to make a difference in changing our world for God. We got to know where we are. But more importantly, we got to know where we're going. And we got to be willing to do whatever it takes to get there. And we got to convince others to follow. We're not going to be able to do that just by revealing our past. I mean, those stories, when you start talking about where we were on Fire Street, and maybe some of you even before Listen, those stories could be incredibly inspiring. But we're not going to be able to convince people to follow with just stories of those past glories. People need vision. They need a picture of what can be. Listen to this story. When he was 88, the late Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes was traveling on a train. The conductor came by and asked for his ticket, and Judge Holmes searched for his pocket or through his pockets and fumbled through his wallet without any success. The conductor was sympathetic and said, "Don't worry, Mr. Holmes, the Pennsylvania Railroad will be happy to trust you. When you reach your destination, you'll probably find the ticket and you can mail it to us." However, the conductor's kindness did not put Justice Holmes at ease. Holmes said this, "My dear man, my problem is not where is my ticket. My problem is, where am I going?" There's a lot of churches and a lot of people who really don't know where they're going. I mean, they've gotten so caught up in the changes of this world and the changes in their own lives that they cannot focus on the future anymore. And we got to dream great dreams. We got to believe in what we can be in spite of what is. God told Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 43, 18 and 19, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." He says in verse 19, "See, I'm doing a new thing." Folks, God is a God of new ideas. He's a God of new innovation. And I promise, He's keeping up with everything else that's going on in the world. In fact, God is a God who uses change. We got to pray for new visions. We can't be content with what was, or even what is. We got to crave. I mean, there's got to be something inside of us that desires what can be. Because I'm going to tell you something, whatever holds our attention is going to determine our actions. When we focus our attention upon the Lord, guess what? All those setbacks, all those things that we struggle with, they become springboards for us. Your obstacles suddenly turn into opportunities. Those barriers turn into blessings. And cowards become courageous. We need to learn from Moses. Hebrews 11:27 tells us that by faith he left Egypt not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses had his mind right. His eyes were on God, and he was able to endure. Moses had that kind of staying power that we need, folks. Even with all the changes that challenged him, he kept his eyes on God, not the obstacles. He endured even into his 80s and his 90s and on into his hundreds. I mean, and think about it. He endured in spite of the contempt of Pharaoh. He endured the stubbornness of the Hebrews who grumbled against him, who criticized him, those who rebelled against him. He endured amidst the criticism of even those closest to him, like Miriam, his sister, Aaron, his brothers, or his brother, and so many others. And the Bible tells us that he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. In other words, he fixed his eyes on the Lord and he never looked back. And you and I can do the same thing this morning. We can endure by getting our minds right, by thinking right, and by fixing our eyes on the Lord. And I think if we do that, we too will be courageous. We'll be courageous even when those conspirators seem to prosper. Even when the wicked seem to be winning. Don't the wicked seem to be winning today? I mean, evil seems to be triumphing over God's word and over God's church in so many ways. Even when the pressure seems to be unbearable, even when the critics won't shut up, even when those big people in our lives act so shamefully small, even when we feel as though we're all alone, and even when wrong is enthroned and truth is just simply fighting for existence. Whatever it is you're facing, you need to get your mind right. Get your thinking right. And then get your eyes on Jesus, especially when we're standing on the edge of some kind of new change or a new challenge or a new commitment. You got to look to Christ. With your mind right, your thinking right, and your eyes on Jesus, you can go forward without any fear whatsoever. You can know that the things in your life that are shaken will only reveal the eternal and the unmovable God that you serve. God uses ordinary people who are totally committed to Him to make a difference in this changing world. And listen, one person like you really can make a difference. As you go through the changes in your life, quite honestly, everybody in this room is going to go through or, you know, already have gone through some kind of change. I really want to encourage you to take your eyes and focus on who Jesus is. I mean, don't set your faith aside while you work through your circumstances. You know how many people do that? Every day they take the faith that God has given them to endure and they set it aside. And they focus on their own abilities, their own strengths, and they just decide, I'm going to work this out. And then they come to the end of themselves and they realize, I can't do anything without Christ. Wasn't that what he said? I mean, that's one of the absolutes in his word. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The Bible says so. But it also says this, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he can do all things. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So in me, you can do everything, but apart from me, you can do nothing. And when we get it in our heads that we can take our faith and just set it aside and work out our own problems in our own strength, it never works. We always fail because God's word is absolute, and apart from Him, we can do nothing. I realize that God has given us an amazing faith to guide us through the most difficult times. And it's awful easy to get wrapped up in your own circumstances and neglect your relationship with Jesus. But this morning, I want to encourage you to try something. Something that's a little bit different. Instead of getting wrapped up in circumstances that you can't change, why don't you get your mind and your thinking right and get totally wrapped up in the one who can do anything? I wonder as I close, maybe you can consider something. Rather than shutting Jesus out of your life because you're overwhelmed, because things are just, you know, so much bigger than you are, I wonder if maybe this could be the day that you invite change into your life. Maybe this is the day that you can open up your life to Christ and allow Him to take over. Will you get your mind right? Can you try at least to think about whatever is true, noble, and right? Can you try to think about whatever is pure and lovely and admirable, whatever is excellent and praiseworthy? Because when we think about such things, guess what happens? Light will break through the darkness of your circumstances and give you vision of a new life in Christ. So maybe this is the day you decide to ask for help. This is the day you decide that going along is getting you nowhere. Maybe this is the day you get your mind right and your thinking right with God. Would you stand with me? God, I thank you so much for your church. And Lord, in spite of all of those horrible things that we have seen change, there is still such a bright future. God, you want to inspire us with vision to go so far beyond what we've seen and where we've been. And that vision is so infectious that it draws people into a right relationship with you. Lord, let us always be mindful of where we've been and where we're at, but even more so of where you want to take us. Lord, as I stand in this service, I know that this particular group of people, Lord, maybe they've seen it all. And they've seen so much that maybe some have given up And now they're just waiting, God, for you to take them home. Lord, I pray that not be the case in anyone's life, but that you would draw them into the passion of the future that you have for all of us. Would you inspire us this morning with your Holy Spirit? Would you call us to a right relationship with you? I ask you right now during this time of invitation that you have your way in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you with your eyes closed for just a moment. Sometimes it's easier when our eyes are closed just to not get distracted by anything else. As you stand here, can you say, God, I really need to get my mind right. Because I spend every day thinking about what was. And I never look any further to what can be. I'm constantly talking about all of the past glories. But I have no dreams. Would you ask God this morning to let you dream again? You may feel like you're in revival if you can just dream again. Dream of what can be. What can be in your life? What can be in your church? What can be in your family? Maybe some of you are here today and, man, change has just beat you down. And you've tried for so long to go it alone. Can you reach out to God and say, listen, Lord, I don't want to do it on my own. I want to find my strength in you. And I want to trust in you. For every change that comes our way, God has a purpose and a plan of how to use that in and through the life of His church and His people. And so would you embrace that and say, God, okay, here it is. This is change that is absolutely challenging everything in our life. How can I honor you through this? God loves you so much. And He doesn't want you to spend the rest of your life, folks, looking over your shoulder. He wants you to look up and look out. And He wants you to see a bright future that He has for all of us. Some of you may need to come this morning and just kneel down at this altar and just give yourself back to God. It's not that you need to be saved. Maybe you're already born again, but you just need to say, God, I surrender. We sang that song today. I surrender it all. Just come and tell Him, God, I surrender everything to you today. I'll give you just a moment. Those of you that need to make a decision, those of you that need to respond to God's invitation, would you come?